Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And welcome to our show today. It is Monday, December 7th, 2020, start of a brand new week here of utter insanity, chaos, and confusion here. And we've got a lot to talk about today. Mike is in our control room, twiddling the dials and keeping us out of trouble. And as usual, we're going to do news until we run out of news, and then we will open the phone lines for your comments, questions, observations, and opinions. Now, today is Pearl Harbor Day. It is the 79th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. And that was probably one of the larger hoaxes played on not just the American people, but the entire world by the United States. Now, the official story is the attack was a complete surprise. Nobody knew that they were coming. The fleet maintained radio silence, and it was a complete failure that was all blamed on Admiral Kimmel and General Short, who were basically blamed for the whole failure. Demoted in rank and then posthumously restored to rank when the real story began to come on out here. And the actual reality which has surfaced, and I'd like to recommend a book, The Pearl Harbor Deception, by Commander Robert B. Stinnett. Pardon me. And he lays out all the evidence. I'm sorry, it's called Day of Deceit. Is what the book is called. And he lays out all the evidence as to what did happen leading up to and during the attack on Pearl Harbor. And what makes the book interesting is Stinnett agrees with what Roosevelt did. And so he's not there to grind an axe or say this was bad or anything. He's just saying this is the record. And what basically has emerged is, first of all, the Japanese fleet did not maintain radio silence when Japanese high command. Hello, I'm hearing somebody on the line here. Okay, when the Japanese high command under Isoroku Yamamoto was sending commands to the fleet, the larger ships could receive it, then they would retransmit to the smaller ships in the strike force, and they were being picked up at listening stations all around the Pacific Rim. In fact, they were broadcasting so loud and so often that the radio man on the SS Lurline, a Matson passenger ship on its way from San Francisco to Honolulu, the radio man Leslie Grogan was picking them up, and he actually plotted their course across the Pacific, heading for Hawaii. And when the Lurline arrived in Honolulu on December 3rd, he turned his logs and maps over to the Office of Naval Intelligence, and they have since subsequently disappeared. Now, the attack was not a surprise. In fact, FDR goaded Japan into the attack. He had an 8-step plan that was crafted by ONI Lieutenant Commander Arthur H. McCollum. And Arthur H. McCollum had spent a lot of his youth in close proximity to the Japanese culture, Japanese society, and he understood how they thought. And so he crafted these 8 steps of provocations, which to the American mindset would seem rather minor, but to the Japanese mindset would be unforgivable insults. And after Roosevelt carried out the 8th provocation, Japan attacked. And so FDR knew they were coming. In fact, there had been a task force, Task Force 29, conducting an exercise right in the path of the oncoming Japanese fleet. If they'd been left there, the Japanese would have run into them and the whole attack would have been foiled. But Franklin Roosevelt literally got on the phone line to the Japanese, to the Hawaiian commanders, and ordered that task force back to Honolulu Harbor. Now, at the same time, all of the most valuable ships, like the aircraft carriers and their fast escorts, were sent away from Hawaii off to the southwest. When the Japanese arrived, there was nothing left but a bunch of, to be blunt about it, old junk ships that were left over from World War I. In fact, the Arizona sister ship, the Nevada, had already been taken out of combat service and was being used for gunnery practice to train naval crews here. So, again, just like 9/11, just like the phony mine in Havana Harbor, just like the Lusitania smuggling weapons to Great Britain, it was another war-starting lie. And with Biden already talking about troop deployments all around the world and all this talk we're hearing about Russia and China being bad, we need to be very careful. We need to be on the alert for more false flags to try and get us into wars we have no business being in. All right, getting on to the election fraud. Apparently over in Michigan, a judge is allowing a forensic investigation of 22 Dominion vote tabulation machines in Antrim County amid claims their votes were compromised. Now, the Trump team has begun the forensic examination. To be very honest, I would be very surprised if those machines had not already been tampered with by the time the forensic analysis began here. And one of the reasons, we know the cover-up is going on. Now, remember, under federal law, all materials related to an election, the ballots, the tabulations, everything, have to be preserved for 22 months after the election, but already stuff is being destroyed. And over in Michigan, there was a protest in front of the Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson's home after it was discovered that all Michigan county clerks were issued orders to delete all election-related data from the computers. And that is absolutely illegal, but they're trying to cover their tracks about, you know, what happened here. And we're seeing, you know, the same organized fraud was taking place in Michigan, was also taking place in Georgia. Republicans were removed from the counting area. And only after that happened were the massive spikes in Biden-only votes recorded. So it's... Again, every day that goes by, we get more and more of this stuff. And they're saying that Biden-only votes were produced seemingly everywhere on election night to steal the election away from Trump here. And believe it or not, Fox News earlier was actually talking about this oddity that all of these ballots only had one vote on them, and that was for Biden for president. There were no votes for senators, no votes for representative, no vote for local mayors or state governors. The ballots were blank except for the vote for Joe Biden. Now, it's come on out that the Michigan and Pennsylvania secretaries of state gave the far-left group Rock the Vote access to sensitive data on all voters in order for them to strategize how they were going to go after some of those voters and convince them to vote for Biden. So apparently, Charlie Kirk interviewed former Kansas Attorney General Phil Klein of the Amistad Project, and basically Klein dropped a bombshell where he revealed how Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg contributed $400 million to this leftist group that was used to give Democrat stronghold areas an advantage in the November election. And now we are hearing that Zuckerberg may actually face a lawsuit and criminal prosecution for interference in the election. Don't think it'll happen, but it's nice they're at least thinking that way. Okay, over in Arizona, apparently law enforcement officers 2 days after the election served a search warrant on a home and took computers and other items as part of a probe into the theft of more voter data. And the warrant said officers were seeking to seize all computers, tablets, and other electronic devices that could be used as a means to commit violations of federal law prohibiting computer intrusion and conspiracy to commit computer intrusion. So there are some people out there trying to do the job the right way here. Over in Wisconsin, they have decided they're going to convene their own public hearing on election integrity. they're obviously dealing with numerous concerns about the 2020 election, and they're going to be convening that on the 11th later this week. Now, the algorithm being used by Dominion has been deduced from a statistical analysis of the Georgia election data, which shows irrefutable anomalies illustrating the manipulation of a small number of the votes in small batches. And apparently in Ware County, Georgia, they ran a test using some of the sequestered Dominion equipment. Ware County ran an equal number of Trump votes and Biden votes through the tabulator, and the tabulator came back with a 26% lead for Biden. 37 Trump votes used in the equal sample run had been switched from Trump to Biden. And so basically what it means is a vote for Trump is counted as 87% of a vote, and a vote for Biden was counted as 113% of the vote. The people running this test were so shocked, they ran the test over and over again and got the same result every single time. 26% bias in favor of Joe Biden. Okay, now getting on back to Georgia and that videotape showing the suitcases of ballots being run through the machines after the observers had been told to go home. A third suspect from that has been identified as Ralph Jones Sr., who has previously been in the news for a shady deal with Mayor Keisha Bottoms. And apparently, you know, they had this story that vote counting stopped in the State Farm Arena due to a water main break. And Trump was way ahead of the election at that time. But a couple of days later, it was discovered there had been no water main break. Nobody called a plumber. It was not called in. Apparently, there was a urinal that overflowed. And apparently, this Ralph Jones Sr., was the one who said, it's a water main break, send everybody home. It was a scam. Okay, and so, yeah, he spread the lies about the water main. I mean, the election is just crooked. It's completely discredited, in my opinion. And as I've said before, this goes way beyond whether you support Trump or Biden. This is about restoring to the American people the power and authority and the right to vote the bastards out next election. Okay. Now, the corporate media, and in particular, some of the social media, are using their fact checkers to claim that the Georgia vote counting video has been debunked. That's the latest word that we're hearing every time somebody brings up some of the evidence. Oh, that's been debunked. It's been completely debunked. How has it been debunked? Well, I don't need to tell you that. Just rest assured it's been debunked. Mahi dictum est. So that's their new word that they're using out there. But no, it has not been debunked. None of this stuff has been debunked. They're just trying to convince you not to look any further than you already have. Even more interesting, over in Georgia's DeKalb County, they can't find the chain of custody records for the absentee ballots. And apparently there was an open records request from the Georgia Star News for the ballot transfer forms used to record the chain of custody for absentee ballots dropped into the 300 drop boxes around the state, and they can't find them. They cannot find the chain of custody. Now, interestingly enough, back in 2019, there was a video made by Georgia Senate Democrats Chairwoman Alina Parent, who was questioning the push toward some of these new voter machines, basically saying that the machines had a high cost and a high degree of fallibility. So she was basically discussing that these machines could be hacked in 2019. That video was taken down. It has since been reposted in other places around the net. But apparently Georgia knew there was going to be a problem with these new machines coming on in particular the Smartmatic and the Dominion. All righty. Now, Mark Levin has come on out calling for the Supreme Court to intercede in the election fraud investigations, saying that Pennsylvania abandoned its own constitution in how they ran the election. For one thing, they extended the date to receive ballots and allow mail-in voting. And basically, Levin is saying the United States has a potential constitutional crisis on its hands with the possible fraud. And yes, that is certainly very true. Now, U.S. Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito has asked officials in Pennsylvania to file briefs by the morning of December 8th. That's tomorrow morning, in response to an emergency injunction petition filed by Republicans seeking to invalidate or rescind the results of the presidential election. Now, that day is the safe harbor deadline that requires controversies surrounding the election to be ended, so states can choose their electors before the December 14th meeting of the Electoral College. So this new deadline by Alito basically signals the Supreme Court intends to rule on the case. Now, Greg Hunter and Gerald Celente are out there saying Trump will win in the Supreme Court. I wish I had their confidence. But we've all seen the evidence of fraud here, but it is so widespread and pervasive, and there are so many parties involved with it, like the corporate media, a whole bunch of Obama-appointed judges who are resorting to legally dubious claims, like the president doesn't have legal standing to file lawsuits alleging election fraud. So it is a monstrous, monstrous scandal. Now, a little bit of good news for Trump. This is coming out of your destination now. Apparently, there is a legal group that has pointed out that the Electoral College deadlines are not constitutional. They're not set in stone, and they can, if necessary, be moved. Now, remember, all these deadlines were created back in, you know, the days before instantaneous communication, you know, where you went by train or horse or carriage to get where you were going to go. Well, we've got jetliner travel now, and we've got virtual communication, which a lot of people are using because of COVID. And so, in point of fact, the electors don't necessarily have to meet on the 14th. It could be pushed back. The Supreme Court could issue an order saying the electors can't meet just yet. And if they push it back too far, then the election gets thrown to the House of Representatives. And again, a reminder, Brad Raffensperger, the Secretary of State in Georgia, he's launched an investigation into several Democrat-linked groups after one of them that was linked to Stacey Abrams tried to register his deceased son to vote in the state's runoff election on January 5th. So, yeah, they're going to cheat the runoff elections as well. Okay, here's a story. This is out of stateofthenation.co, and it's saying the most scathing election theft indictment in world history. I mean, if this election had happened in any other country, you'd hear the United States State Department saying, oh, obvious fraud, it's illegitimate, we don't recognize it. you know, we've never seen anything like it. I've never seen anything like this while I've been alive. And basically, Trump gave this primetime speech explaining the election theft, and the entire corporate media refused to carry it. You have to watch it online here, which basically tells us the entire corporate media are in on the steal. And I don't know what they've been promised, probably the end of the independent media because they don't like the competition. And every major corporate organ of propaganda and prevarication is a central co-conspirator to steal the 2020 presidential election. And it is stunning how corrupt our entire society has become. Okay, we're going to take a break here for some commercials. We're going to come back here with more news. And so stay tuned.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you. Our show here, and of course some holiday music courtesy of the lovely Lady Claire, and a friendly reminder that the Republic Broadcasting Network needs your help to keep fighting what is turning into a virtual civil war between those of us who want to restore the Republic and know the truth and those who are trying to create a socialist globalist dictatorship in this nation, and it's never really been more important that we all unite together and stand up, because the reward for being faint of heart is entrapment and slavery and dictatorship. So one more time, the postal address where you can send a check, money order, or if you prefer, anonymity cash is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation is 800-724-2719, extension 3. And, of course, a heartfelt thanks to those of you who have already donated, because you are helping the cause tremendously here. All righty, getting on back to the news and getting on to the vote fraud. Apparently, a video has surfaced confirming that fake ballots for the 2020 U.S. presidential election were printed in Guangdong, China. And apparently, you know, when I first heard the story, I said, no, no, they're trying to put us on a false trail here. But apparently this video surfaced of somebody basically admitting it, saying, yeah, well, we did have this, something like 5 million phony ballots that were produced. Okay. When I first read this, I thought it was a joke, but apparently Congressman Brian Babin of Texas is absolutely serious. He wants to introduce a bill requiring voters to be alive. And basically, the bill would require states to cross-reference their voter registration with their Social Security recipient lists to ensure that only living citizens are voting. It's actually a good idea. It's actually a very good idea. And so good for him for coming up with that one here. All righty, getting into non-election politics here. Apparently, there is word floating around now that Attorney General Bill Barr is thinking about resigning before Trump leaves office. He's apparently furious over Trump's bullying after Barr said the Department of Justice found no widespread election fraud, which the Department of Justice has now walked back and said, well, we're not done looking yet. So apparently, Barr is concerned that Trump may fire him, and that looks a lot worse on a resume than resignation. And so we'll see what's going to happen there. All right. One American News Network is switching from YouTube to the so far censorship-free alternative Rumble. And apparently YouTube suspended One American News from uploading new videos for a week toward the end of last month and demonetized them. No actual reason was given. You know, we can presume that One American News has been talking about Trump and election fraud and, you know, political corruption. All right, let's talk about COVID-19. That's heating up in the news again here. And this is a very alarming story. It's coming out of Bloomberg, no less. And it says that vaccine safety will remain unclear until millions get their shots. Now, this is kind of a shocking statement following comments that we heard last week where they're not using the human population as guinea pigs. But apparently, monitoring safety issues for the COVID-19 vaccine will fall to a group of U.S. health agencies that will also have a hand in the rollout, which means that if they do find adverse reactions, we may never hear from them. Okay, so. Okay, another post from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. As you know, he is seriously anti-vaccine. And he's saying, avoid the corona vaccine at all costs. And basically says there are still unanswered questions about the vaccine. And he's talking about how, for the first time in the history of vaccinations, these mRNA vaccines intervene directly in the genetic material of the patient. They literally alter your DNA. This is genetic manipulation, which has previously been prohibited and was actually at one point considered criminal. And it's basically saying this intervention is comparable to genetically modified foods, which people have serious concerns about them. You start playing around with the DNA in a body, you're opening the door to cancer. You know, I remember a few years back, Bill Gates was a guest speaker for the Pentagon talking about a vaccine that would erase the gene that leads to religious belief. You think about that one a little bit. We've got to take another break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Politicians and preachers once sometimes told the truth. We didn't throw war's first stone and sacrifice our finest youth. With no video games or cell phones, a house felt like a home. Children fought and played together and stayed upon a computer alone.
Welcome back to our show here, and we're getting on back to the news on COVID-19. Now, we talked about this briefly last week, but we have a little bit more information. This happened in India. There was a 40-year-old business consultant who volunteered to be a participant in the clinical trials of the experimental COVID-19 vaccine created by AstraZeneca and Oxford University, and apparently he developed encephalopathy, which of course is brain dysfunction, and he got that within 10 days of the vaccination. Now, the Indian authorities are denying that the vaccine caused the encephalopathy. They are suing the trial volunteer for over $1 million for reputational damage. So they're already out there using the courts to try and silence anybody that has an adverse reaction here. Interesting little story. This one is coming out of Madness Hub. Apparently, somebody took a poll and discovered that more than half of New York City firefighters are saying they will not take the COVID-19 vaccine when it becomes available to them in the coming weeks. Okay. Now, the story, this one is out of Zero Hedge. Ontario's chief medical officer, Dr. David Williams, is saying Canadians who refuse the vaccine won't have freedom to move around. It's just another coercive tactic to get everybody to have that needle stuck into their arms. And it's how hard they're pushing for everybody to have this that really makes me worry about what's going on here. Interestingly enough, a former vice president of Pfizer is out there saying that the COVID pandemic is actually over and it can be properly handled by, you know, a functioning health system. And he's saying the country should immediately go back to normal life and there's no need for vaccines or masks. So we'll see what's going on here. Up in Oregon, there was a medical doctor who openly and publicly questioned whether face masks actually work against the COVID-19 virus. He's had his medical license revoked. I mean, these are very heavy-handed tactics. And again, it's a violation of his First Amendment right to come out there with his opinion, which is all it really is here. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Article 6 of the 2005 UNESCO Declaration on Bioethics and Human Rights states, medical intervention is only to be carried out with the prior, free, and informed consent of the person concerned. Now, this is part of the United Nations, and the United States is a signatory to it, and it's basically saying they cannot stick a needle in you without your permission. But apparently Twitter has marked this as potentially sensitive content when somebody posted a screenshot of the actual article from the UNESCO Declaration. And apparently a Twitter user posted Article 6 in response to a video clip of UK Member of Parliament Desmond Swain's impassioned admonition against coerced vaccines. Well, what they're going to do is say, well, we're not forcing you to have the vaccine, but if you don't have it, you're just going to stay in your home. Okay. Now, Tulsi Gabbard is out there pledging support for Trump in his battle against big tech. Good for Tulsi. I wish she'd done better in the primaries this year, and I hope she's going to be back in the future. Anyway, she says, I fully support you on this. Please don't back down. The freedom and future of our country is at stake. She's absolutely right. When you have companies like Facebook and Twitter controlling what we see and hear so that only the official and corporate views of anything are promulgated across the net here. Now, China is now saying that coronavirus may have actually started down in Australia and travel to Wuhan's wet market via frozen steak exports. And we're seeing more and more indications. We reported on them last week that coronavirus has actually been around a lot longer, that it was detected in France before it was detected in China. Getting on back to the international news here, a lot of people are expressing concern over China's new H-20 stealth bomber. They're saying it has a range of up to 7,500 miles, meaning they could hit Pearl Harbor. And they're saying basically not a lot of photos of this yet. They're presuming it's sort of based on the design of the B-2. Okay. So they're out there. Chinese scientists are also testing a revolutionary hypersonic engine. It's hydrogen fueled, and they're saying that one day it could propel an airframe as fast as Mach 16, or about 12,300 miles per hour. This is coming from the South China Morning Post. And apparently they did a flight test of the hypersonic engine in a wind tunnel in Beijing, and it suggested unprecedented thrust, fuel efficiency, and operational stability. So apparently they're saying this could propel an airframe across the world in just 2 hours. Well, that would certainly make air travel interesting. All righty. Now, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, last Thursday, basically called for more high-tech weapons, saying the U.S. should focus more on high-tech equipment to maintain superiority over China. I don't know. The Chinese look like they're pretty far ahead right now. And General Milley said the U.S. should utilize things like artificial intelligence, robotics, and hypersonic weapons. They're all gearing up here for war with China. And along that same line, apparently the United States Navy is moving forward with a plan to add an additional fleet to the Pacific as part of its efforts to counter China. And the plan would resurrect the first fleet, which was in operation from 1945 to 1973. And apparently they want to put the new fleet at the crossroads between the Indian and Pacific Oceans to have an Indo-PACOM footprint. A lot of people are looking over at Russia, which is now fielding the T-14 Armada. The first deliveries will happen the first of the year. And apparently it's being described as the world's best tank, that it's a revolutionary design, and it will become the main battle tank in the Russian army. And I'm wondering how old the M1A1 is right now. Meanwhile, on the other side, the conventional wisdom has been that China has a distinct advantage in naval power. It's built up its navy to over 300 warships and submarines, making it the largest navy in the world, even larger than the United States. And it's going to expand its armada to 450 ships and 110 submarines by 2030. Countering it on the other side, Taiwan is launching a new class of submarines, which are apparently very, very capable of inflicting a great deal of damage if China tries to sail across the Taiwan Strait. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the economy. It was not a good day on the stock market. The Dow closed 137 down here. Now, a lot of people have been talking about Elon Musk, and you know, he tends to be a progressive politically, but interestingly enough, he is going to move his company to Texas. He's leaving California for Texas because he's tired of the high taxes and all of the complex regulations in California. Now, he's been dropping hints for months he was going to ditch the Golden State, and currently splits his time between Los Angeles and the SpaceX facilities in Texas. And apparently he's going to make that move permanent. Now, Goldman Sachs is considering moving their asset management division, that's one of their larger divisions, out of New York City down to Florida, to what they see as a more business-friendly environment as well. So something else you're seeing in a lot of these Democrat-run states and cities, the high taxation necessarily to fund the liberal agenda is driving some of their big businesses away. Okay, a little bit of climate stuff here. And apparently ahead of day of action, young elected officials are pushing Joe Biden to enact a national emergency climate plan, because we've got to fight human-caused global warming. We're hearing that one all over again. So this was organized by the elected officials to protect America, and basically saying we have to take action on the climate crisis to protect all of our communities. Now, New England just got a huge amount of snow from a nor'easter that came in over there, and we're seeing heavy snow start to pile up in the northern parts of the Great Plains area and the Rockies Mountains here. Interestingly enough, this story came out of the Daily Mail, where they're saying that climate change will end England's snowy winters in 20 years, Whiteouts could become a thing of the past as the planet warms. This is coming from the Met Office. This is from the same Met Office that in 2009 said that Britain would have a snow-free winter, and they got hit with more snow than they'd had in decades here. And we've heard this all before. Back in 2000, the British media were out there saying snowfalls are a thing of the past. So they're recycling all of this global warming nonsense all over again to justify efforts to control the climate, which is another name for telling you how to live your life, how much heat you can have in your home, what cars you can drive, and so forth. A little bit of news coming from the world of computers, and that is apparently ransomware gangs are now cold calling their victims if they restore from backups without paying the ransom. And apparently the latest ransomware plants something on the computers where if the ransomware malware is deleted and the systems are restored, the ransomware gangs are notified, and they basically call up and say, you still have to pay or we will reinfect you. Apparently, Bill Siegel, CEO and co-founder of cybersecurity firm Coveware, basically said it all seems to be the same gangs because it's the same outsourced call center group that's working all of these ransomware claims. So it's all big business here. All right. Now, you need to be on the alert this Christmas shopping season. The scammers are out there in full force. And apparently there is another scam out there trying to rob Amazon Prime users of about $800. And they tell the story about how this individual just finished buying six or seven gifts online for children. So he got a phone call claiming to be from Amazon that he had nearly $800 in charges on his account. And, you know, they said this is Amazon calling, and you just need to really be skeptical because they are definitely out there. I mean, we get scams here all the time, it's just amazing here. All right, we're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines, area code 512-248-8252. And so the lines are open right now. China is doing very well in space and science. A lot of people, you know, are, of course, are moaning the loss of the Arecibo radio telescope. A lot of people don't realize China built one just like it, only three times the size. It's called the FAST telescope. And like the Arecibo telescope, it was built into this huge bowl-shaped valley, and they're already doing research with that one. As you're already aware, China landed the Chang'e 5 on the moon to scoop up some rocks and bring them back to Earth. And while they were there, China flew its flag on the moon, which may be thumbing their nose at America, which has not been able to place a flag on the moon in quite some time here. Okay, we're going to go ahead and start taking phone calls. Peter in Los Angeles, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Mike. I just was calling about the Pearl Harbor anniversary.
Yes.
And I know that you're very much into that, as am I. And I wanted to add a couple of things on. Is that the whole goal of the McCollum memo was to get Japan to bite where Germany had not in getting us into the war. Yeah. We wanted to get into war with Germany, and had done everything in 1940. We passed this massive rearmament bill, which I'll talk about in a second. But they also lend-lease in 1941, first yeah. peacetime draft in 1940. We were fighting a naval war throughout all of 1940 and 41 with the Germans. And Hitler, who had experienced the United States intervention in World War I, which turned the tide, kept Germany from winning, wasn't biting. And so we then went off to try to get the Japanese, who were required were linked with the Germans by treaty, and an attack by one could get you into war with the other. So the McCollum memo came out, which, you know, among other things, I know you mentioned they moved the Pacific Fleet, which had been headquartered in San Diego, to Hawaii, by the way, against the advice of the Chief of Naval Operations, which said we weren't even logistically able to accommodate the fleet at first in Pearl Harbor. But it was aggressive to the Japanese, freezing their assets, embargoing all the scrap iron, embargoing oil, which is the big thing. A very aggressive cruiser and submarine patrols, like the equivalent of which would be, like, say, a Chinese vessel sailing between L.A. and Pearl Harbor. L.A. and Catalina.
Well, Peter, stay on the line. I got to put you on hold. We got to take another break for commercials, and we'll be back with more about Pearl Harbor.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
Welcome back to our show here. We're talking with Peter in Los Angeles. We're talking about Pearl Harbor. And yeah, I had an interest in Pearl Harbor when we lived on Oahu. I could look out my office window and see the Pearl Harbor Memorial and the battleship Missouri. And of course, we toured them quite a bit. And, you know, even knowing what I know about the real circumstances of the attack on Pearl Harbor, it was very moving to visit the memorial, to see the remains of the ship. Also got to tour, the Missouri, and got to pull the triggers on the big guns. Thankfully, they were not loaded.
Well, Mike, you had mentioned that all the obsolete ships that were sunk at Pearl Harbor, and you were right, in yes. all but one or two, I believe, were raised within 8 months. Some of them took place yes. in the pre-invasion bombardment of Normandy. But prior to Pearl Harbor, again, we had occupied, for instance, Iceland in July of 1941 to release the British. We had taken over all their bases in the Bahamas and the Bermuda and so on for the 50 destroyer deal. But, to give you an idea of how blatant we were, everybody knows about the Flying Tigers.
Yes.
Which were 100 top-of-the-line, first-line P-40 fighters that were deployed with Army, Navy, and Marine Corps pilots prior to Pearl Harbor to China to fight against the Japanese and to kill Japanese troops. It was a covert operation, supposedly, but right in their face, they were killing Japanese troops. And people say to me, I can't believe that they would allow all those ships to be sunk and all those people to be killed and how it jeopardized, our security by doing so. And I want to point out, this is one thing that I would like everybody to internalize. All those ships that were sunk in Pearl Harbor, the building program that we instituted in 1940 after the fall of France was such that if the Japanese had sunk every single ship in the United States Navy everywhere in the world on December 7, 1941, the building program of 1940 would have meant that we would have still outgunned them by 1944.
Absolutely. And, as you point out, ultimately only three ships were lost in the attack on Pearl Harbor. And if you contrast that to the U.S. Navy's disaster at Point Honda off the coast of California, where they literally ran an entire fleet onto the rocks and lost 9 battleships in one single accident.
I didn't know about that. Mike, I'd love to hear about
something
that
the Navy likes to brag about.
Yeah, yeah. But one more thing, Mike. I want to also say that the thing about the Chinese and they're the largest shipbuilder in the world. It's very analogous what we did to the Japanese and how we could outbuild them. The Chinese can outbuild us. Anyways,
yes,
there
they
we go.
Can. Well, yeah. I mean, we've lost much of our manufacturing and. That is a real strategic issue. All right, Peter, I got to let you go. We got callers filling up the phone lines now, and we'll be back with hour two after station identification.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, We can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.